strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never reconcile.
Oh, punched by the
silence. Like the tiger of old, the storm and the bones of the tiger.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
I think it's a little bit of an awkward show this week.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know that we agreed that this would be a non-monogamous podcast.
Well, you know, it was the invitation was for a threesome, but as is often with the case with threesomes, you know, it can create jealousy afterwards. So yes, I can see why it has created some awkwardness. But Nick, you know, as much as Chris from the Big Footy podcast is very professional.
Yeah, it's hard not to be threatened by how professional he was.
Yeah, I know, but you know, on the other side, his professionalism makes me look bad too. He doesn't say "you know" every third sentence. But Nick, when he didn't laugh at my pro wrestling joke, I knew that, you know.
You realised that it just wasn't working out.
Yeah, it was always going to be a fling. It wasn't going to be. We just didn't have enough values in common.
Oh well,
it was fun to do, and I, you know, as I said on the
good times
podcast,
and shout out to them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hard work, a lot of thought. Like it's quite a it's a very well done by the standard of fan podcast. I think he's, you know, as far as professionalism and effort he puts into it, he must be one of the best for any fan podcast.
Yeah, it's impressive, and some of their past player ones. Nobody's doing that sort of content. It's really genuinely impressive.
Yes, I had some.
So how are you feeling about football? Has the seemingly endless time off been good for you?
I have a bit, actually. You know, I was really thinking about this today when I was thinking about the season. I was getting really excited about football coming up again. And part of that's based on, you know, I know we're still favourites to make the top eight, according to the bookmakers, and I think the squiggle.com, which collates the sort of the seven ladder predicting mechanisms.
Stats-based models, yep.
Yeah, exactly, thank you. You know, they on average, they have us making the eight, but it's only by half a game.
Mm.
We're actually out of the eight right now. Gambling odds don't win games. Mm. We're really on a knife edge. And if you look at this objectively, if you're looking at this in the 1970s out in a vacuum and without knowing that it's a recent premiership team, you'd say, well, Richmond are kind of against it. They're a game out and they've got a bad percentage. So there's, you know, we've got a challenge to make it. Like, this is actually quite exciting. Like, we've got a scrap and claw. We're sort of underdogs, and every game's going to be meaningful. But, you know, we go into every game with a chance of winning it. This is actually really exciting. I'm really excited about the rest of the year.
I know. I was almost a little bit freaked out about how positive you were on Twitter.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. Like, I mean, you know, we lose this weekend, it all goes bad quickly. So we're not a game and percentage out of the eight. We're just percentage out of the eight. But,
I know. But the raised stakes, like, it's definitely exciting. But I'm going to be even more catatonic than usual on game day.
Yeah, I mean, this game, this week, for instance, and we'll come to it more, is just huge.
Mm. So I thought this week it's a bye week, so there's not the same. You know, we don't have the usual suite of games to talk about. I thought we could do a bit of best and worst for the year, a little bit of, you know, big picture stuff on who's playing for their career, bit of news, and finish up with the Saints.
Yeah, fair enough. Sounds good.
So, I did look. Other people have done this as well, but I was genuinely interested to hear your thoughts on, you know, in a season with you know, where the highs have been high and the lows have been low. What are your favourite moments?
Well, I think the Fremantle win, it looks sort of stands out to me as just incredibly impressive, as they're the team that were most likely to replace for a stop in the place in the top eight, may actually be the game that gets us in, that gets us into the top eight. So incredibly important, and I'm deliberately not naming players here. Yeah, the Port game obviously was great as well. Another very brave performance. But what did you think?
I certainly liked both those games. I thought of it more in individual terms. Probably the Port game was my individual favourite game in terms of sort of how we were feeling. I enjoyed beating Hawthorn pretty handily. That was fun. Felt kind of invincible when we beat Melbourne. But in terms of like individual moments, I'm not sure I felt better about the season at any point than when Tom Lynch took a mark in the first quarter against Carlton. It just really felt like anything was possible at that point.
True. And, well, that was a great moment. Sydney Stack's bump on Viney.
Oh, I almost have Stack highlights as a separate category.
Yeah, I know. And I know you want to talk about the players individually as well. So, yeah, I think that's a nice one because it looked like it was, you know, the coming together of this new weapon that would give us this extra dimension. And then, this incredibly potent forward line, and of course Jack went down, but such is life. But yeah, I think that's a good moment. Without jumping ahead to the Sydney Stack Noah Bolter conversation, like that'd been the other two highlights, clearly.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, for individual moments, Bolter's almost without parallel. Although Stack has been great. How did you feel about his, contract re-signing?
Interesting. The thing that stood out to me, because regular listeners, I apologise for hearing this again. The contract announcements are meaningless in the AFL because they treat fans like babies, that they won't show the dollar value because you don't really know, like, whether you can't make any judgment whether you're under or over paying players. Like, if we give him $1 million a year, we've paid too much. It's a bad contract re-signing. I'm sure we haven't, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
What was interesting, Nick, is the rumours that he's been given, there's a clause in his contract, he gets more money if he comes back in shape.
Yeah, that was the bit that I thought was most interesting as well. The Christmas period, like, who among us would not find that clause demanding?
Yeah, and I wondered whether it was a standard contract that people just misinterpreted, but I also thought, who had the incentive to leak that clause? Because, it's one of those things that probably best not in the public, but I can completely see where they're going from. Like we've discussed on this podcast, but it's hardly an original idea. The danger time for Sydney Stack is when he has to go home in the off-season.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the pressures of, you know, him you know, as a young guy, you know, making good money, for the first time in his life, in an unstable family environment. Yeah, like, then that could be pretty challenging.
Yep. It's hard. It's hard being famous at that young age. It's hard having a lot of money in an environment where not everyone has it. And good luck to him. But so far, so good.
Yep. Oh, look, three years would have felt like a lot. 1 year too short. So yeah, I thought it was pretty spot on.
I actually don't get that worried too much about players' contracts before free agency. You know, good well-run clubs don't lose players in that time.
No, although I reckon Shai Bolton's contract situation is going to be interesting.
Yes, that's fair. Okay.
Look, while we're talking about the rookies, Patrick Nash's goal was a pretty nice moment too.
Yes, that's true. Highlights actually. Had this been a normal year and we not had the Sydney Stack Noel Bolter explosion, I would have loved Jack Ross's debut.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There was some stuff on Twitter today about first year players and how they rate on the AFL player ratings, and yeah, Jack Ross is there on the top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. He's looking good. Now, is there anything else you want to say about season highlights or lowlights? Because I think the lowlights almost wrote themselves.
Yeah, the lowlights wrote themselves. Of the injuries, look, they're all awful in their own way, but the Rants one,
yep,
particularly so.
And the Rants one, and then getting smoked in consecutive games by the Magpies and the Giants, that was pretty bad.
That was pretty bad. The Rants injury, and then getting lit up like a Christmas tree by various key forwards of, you know, middling quality around the league. I didn't enjoy that.
No, it wasn't. You know, obviously the Kangaroos and Cats losses were really bad. Mm. But, you know, we did have a lot of injuries at the time. There's been, like, it's been a real up and down season. Like,
yeah, it's very much so.
Like our five losses. The Crows one is the only one that you can sort of live with.
As a credible loss, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there was nothing fun. There was nothing fun about any of the four, like Giants, Pies, North, and Bulldogs. Yeah. Not much fun.
Nope. Not very redeemable. Yes, so it's been a season of very high highs and very low lows.
Where, you know, with all of that, where have your expectations calibrated to?
For the rest of the season?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I said on my other podcast that, like, I think once you handicap for injury, the season's been a success overall.
Thus far. I'd say so.
But, you know, that changes every week. It's subject to review. My expectation now, I think it's reasonable, provided the injury stabilised to some sort of normal level, that best case scenario is we get a home final, but we at least make the eight. And then you just sort of have to judge it by the performance in that individual game. If we play a particularly informed opponent and we get bad rub and we get smoked, that might be okay. But, you know, you'd really think you'd like us to run any team in the top eight other than sort of the top two pretty close once we got to the finals.
Yep.
So I think a pass mark is one final, and I think a premiership is still possible.
Yeah, it seems a long way away now. I think, yeah, look, you get there and you think, well, you know, I'm not particularly scared by any of the teams in the bottom half of the top eight, but again, you know, if we're away to home, you know, if we're doing back-to-back round 23 and then a Brisbane final, that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that'd be tough, but, you know, we probably should go up to the go up to Brisbane and be able to beat them, since we clearly match up well against them. Although, you know, they've obviously evolved.
Yeah.
But you'd have to sort of look at it at the time. You know, if we and how many injuries we had. If we had a full strength list other than Rance, you'd expect us. You raise the bar. So I think, you know, without over-laboring this point, you still have to handicap it to the level of injury, which is still quite uncertain, frankly. I mean, who knows if Jack and Nank are going to come back?
Yeah.
And if Lambert comes back, and Cheddar, he's managing an injury. His injury is not – he's got tendonitis of the hamstring. So he's managing it. He's not fixed. He's just managing a load. So he might not be great for the rest of the year. So all this you've got to take into the big picture. But, yeah, look, my default thing of any contending team is you've had a good year when you've won a final.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I'd be, yeah, if we didn't make the eight, I mean, it depends. I mean, if we have if the second half of the year is injury situations as bad as the first half, yeah, maybe missing the finals doesn't feel as bad, but it would be disappointing.
Yep.
I wanted to briefly mention my nomination for the worst media take of the first half of the season, and look, there were so many contenders, as is the nature of things these days. But Matthew Lloyd comparing Richmond to his own Essendon team of the early zeros was, I thought that was a notable effort in projecting his own sense of disappointment and loss on other people.
You know what? Because you off air, you asked me like, do the worst media take, choose them. And, you know, some of them I think are overdone, but, you know, there's a grain of truth to them. Like the Lynch hasn't delivered on what he promised. Mm. Yep, the truth to that. You know, it's a bit hot takey, but that was – I made exactly the same choice as you. The idea that Richmond – if Richmond doesn't win the flag this year, that we've underachieved relative to how good a team we are, like that's obviously manifestly untrue. You know, in 2017, yes, we had a great final series, but we weren't in, as we have pointed out, at no stage in that season were we favourite for the flag.
Yep.
That was not...
Yeah, the only moment where I think we were favourite to the flag would have been about the midway point of the third quarter of the grand final.
Yeah, which I don't really think you can count in-game betting on that scale. So you know, and then in 2018 we sort of had the regular season of a premiership team. But look, yeah, like the history is that the teams that have a season is because Richmond, more often than not, they don't win the premiership.
Mm.
Because it's really hard to win a premiership, and there are other good teams in the top four. You know, the idea that we – I mean, the team that will be heartbroken is Adelaide, who pissed away a fantastic 2017.
Yeah. And look, we mentioned it at the time, and they were – if they'd won, they would have been an above-average premiership team. I think when I said about Matthew Lloyd projecting like that, the Essendon team that did win the grand final – literally was the best team of the current century. So that,
yes,
that they had such a above average team where, you know, they've won you know, close to 60 games over a 3 year period. It's 64 games over a 3 year period. That's incredible. And we're not going to get anywhere close to that, and
it's completely uncomparable.
Yep.
Yes. So yes, terrible take. But you also asked to come up with our own hot take.
Yep.
And I must admit, I struggled with this slightly because, you know,
it's not really our thing.
Well, the thing is, if I've got a semi decent, like on the downside, like, you know, at the moment when we're losing, there's plenty of media hot takes, negative hot takes out there. You know, and the obvious ones sort of write themselves. And obviously, the game plan's been found out, or Tom Lynch was a mistake. Now, there's sort of, I don't know, go read Wayne Carey's article if you want to have an opinion about it. I don't know. I don't think, to me, I think after 2 years, when Rance gets back, then you can have a look whether the Lynch, you can definitively say the Lynch. Make an early judgment on the Lynch call. Mm. At the moment, I'm a bit worried, but that's a media hot takey. But I wanted to make a positive hot take, which is hard to do, Nick, because if I've got a slightly upside comment about a player, I just say it.
When you're doing so much on a week by week basis, yeah, it is actually hard to come up with something new.
But there's two I'm going to mention. One, which was mine, which is I have not given up hope that Ivan Soldo could be a decent first ruck.
I quite like that one. I was actually thinking of that for my own.
You know, he's big. He's athletic. He can't cover the ground, which I think if he doesn't make it, which is what might kill him. But you know, as has been pointed out a million times, hasn't played that much football, and still has a lot of untapped upside in the one position where you actually get that kids do get remarkably better from what they were when they were 19. By the way, what do you think of a friend of the podcast, Sean's hot take that Higo's upside is best case scenario is Dwayne Zorko?
I really like Dwayne Zorko.
yeah, so do I.
I'm still, despite Higgins, almost the hottest take I have is that I'm actually still really positive on his future, despite the struggles of the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. I think the problem with Higo is that he's got the expectations became too high on him. I think if you sort of had him pegged as – if you always kept in mind that, look, no one in the AFL was surprised by his first year. That was sort of what people expected. They expected him to explode on the scene. But also there was a reason why he went 18th. You know, that there was
– Yeah.
There was always a chance.
There was concern about his upside, yeah.
Yeah, it was – most AFL clubs didn't expect him to be a frontline mid. You know, and so sort of expect him – if you sort of start with the premise that he's going to be a good sort of creative forward who finds spaces, is a link person, can pinch hit in the midfield, that's maybe a more realistic baseline than he's going to be a frontline mid. With hands like Cochin, because he does not have hands like Cochin. He did not demonstrate in the juniors.
No, although he did. He did win a lot of ball.
He was a stats pig, but he's contested ball. I mean, you know, in juniors, if you're one of the top three midfielders, you play in the midfield.
Yeah,
all the time.
What do AFL ratings say that Shane Edwards is our second best player? How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm very familiar with it, obviously, because you know I love it, and the stats have loved him for a long time. It's a reflection of that.
That's a lot of love.
It is a lot of love. It's partly a reflection is that we've sort of had a drop-off in the other possible players.
Well, he is rated as the 13th best player in the AFL.
Yeah, and we moved into a position. But the thing is, he's been playing off the half-back line, where he's a wonderful creator and sets up chains. But, you know, I think the AFL ratings might be slightly generous on if you cause a turnover that leads to a goal the other way. You know, he's a high-risk-reward player, which I think it helps him. But, yeah, do I think he's the 13th best player in the AFL?
Yeah.
Probably not.
I know. I think we've missed Kane Lambert a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And he arguably is top three or four most important player on the team.
What do you...
And I just hope that Achilles is not serious.
Yeah. Apparently his last game, his GPS numbers were well down. So, yeah, so... Hopefully they're back up to normal. I did hear some sort of secondhand feedback from the coaches that they see Noah Bolter's future very much as a key back. What do you think?
Well, that's been around. It's been on the forums for a while too. That you know, this idea that they might sort of. Drop him, which they now have. We've recorded this after selection, and give him a run in the back line. I think Tim and I have even said that publicly at some stage. So it's now happened. I actually prefer him in the role that we're playing him in.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, I know why, that, and I know that Leper is in the coaching staff, who was also there for the Rance development. I know why people compare him to Rance, but I don't actually think that he's exactly the same type of athlete. I don't think, like, Rance was a lockdown centre-half back for a reason in juniors. That's a position he basically, the position he made All-Australian in was a position he played in juniors. Bolters, he's sort of more of a flash of lightning that disappears. You know, I prefer players like that playing centre or forward, where they can impact the game, but, you know, if they go missing or lose the, do something a bit mercurial, it doesn't cost you a goal.
I know, and when he gets passive, he doesn't perform at anywhere near the same level. He is good at reading and intercepting, so that sort of...
Yeah.
And look, traditionally, that style of player who maybe doesn't read the play so well, getting led to the ball by his opponent is a good thing, but... And being a young big man is hard, and it takes a while. He can look a bit passive, though.
Yes, but, you know, let's also be honest. The coaching staff have seen him in a lot more one-on-one marking drills. So I'll be interested, but I actually, like, sort of double down on this slightly carpy line, but I would have done this in the off-season. I would have let, you know, we could win a flag this year, and I don't think Noah Bolter's going to learn how to be a good backman this year, whereas he could... he has shown the ability to impact games with these abilities of forward slash ruck.
In terms of people playing for their career, I don't think we've got any really high. I think the highest profile out of contract guys are, in order, Brandon Ellis, Dan Butler, and Connor Menadue. I'm not. Well, and Basher Hawley, but I think if Basher's fitness is going well, I think he'll
get another run.
He'll get another run.
Separating people playing for their Richmond future or their AFL future, which do you mean?
Do you think any of those three players will be playing for Richmond next year?
Connor Menadue, with a bit of luck, will be still in the AFL because, you know, I've got a soft spot, but I think he's... I don't think he's playing for his career anymore at Richmond. I think that's over. He got a chance this year and it just didn't go well enough. I think Brando, well, you know, I think we discussed this last episode that more likely than not, he'll be at another club, but I don't necessarily, but he'll go for a lot of money. Someone will want him. And I'd certainly be very happy if he stayed at Richmond, but we might have to console ourselves with a compensation pick. Butler's the interesting one. He'll definitely be in the AFL next year.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't know, because we are stacked at that position. And
yeah, and if a club like Carlton offers him close to $500,000 a year, I don't think we can match.
No, and then you sort of talk, well, you can trade him. You know, he's a restricted, you know, other clubs would have to trade to get him.
Yeah, he's not any sort of free agent. Yeah, they'd have to trade for him.
So you might get a sort of pick in the 40s for him, which would be not bad.
Pick in the 30s, I'd say.
Oh, well, hopefully. But hopefully we keep one of him or Bolton.
Yeah, we'd start to look thin without both of them.
Yeah.
Other guys, I think... You know, really need a big second half of the year. I mean, they're on the rookie list, so it's obvious, but depth guys like Jacob Townsend and Mav Weller and Marvia Chol. I think Ben Miller. Well, Luke English isn't out of contract, but the club never talks about him, so I don't think he'll get delisted, but I think he's pretty fringy right now. Yeah, and Miller's... I just don't think Miller's developed enough.
Yes, yeah, so I think Miller and Chol are the two that it's still a question mark. That And I think Chol's the one I think has the best chance to hang around, particularly because he might play this week. So I think he's – I think if anyone's playing for his career, it's him. And if he gets another shot in the ones. Miller's an interesting one. I don't know. Like, you'd still sort of go, if you're Richmond, well, just our key position back is so – depth is so poor. He might still think about it, but, you know, he needs to come back and he needs to play well.
Yeah, I think big man depth's going to be a priority in the draft. Speaking of signings, I've mentioned before about our high-performing VFLW ruckman, Alice Edmonds, and she got signed by the AFLW team.
Huh, there you go.
Specialist...
Up to 12.
Yeah, I think. Up to 12. Yeah. I'm not... I haven't heard of any rumours of... I mean, I know that they're looking at further of the VFLW team, but maybe they're going to spread out the signings. But, yeah, Edmonds is a really specialist ruckman. So I thought, yeah, this is Andy's kind of player.
Well, I'm hoping to catch some early games, so I'll make a judgment then.
Mm. Well, yeah, that is... I do, you know, in the absence of a formal announcement that, you know, I know that you're certainly looking at organising your arrangements to be able to attend more football games, which would be a nice change.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, a little bit annoying. I was just looking up the AFLW's team list. It's not on the internet yet.
That is a bit annoying.
Yeah, okay.
St Kilda.
Yep.
Would you like some reasons to be worried? Because it is a Thursday and I am starting to worry.
Sure, you go yours and I'll go mine.
Okay. It's at Marvel Stadium.
Yep, good start.
We haven't played there well.
Nope.
St Kilda, while they have many flaws as a football team, they don't concede a lot of turnovers.
Yep.
They bat reasonably deep in what is a pretty no-name midfield, like guys like Ross and Steele, Sinclair. You know, they're pretty decent players. Jake Billings maybe finally living up to his billing as being a, so to speak, of being a top three draft pick. Jade Gresham, you know, is a genuinely good player. They've got a really good young ruckman in Rowan Marshall. So, yeah, I'm. Look, there is also quite a bit of dead weight on the team and guys even I've barely heard of. But yeah, I can make myself worried.
Yeah, and just to pile in on the negativity, we've been really bad in the last 3 weeks.
We have, yeah. And if St Kilda aren't coughing up the ball very much, and they are, you know, they have a decent game kicking for goal, which, you know, would be unusual for them, but not completely out of the realm of possibilities we saw in 2017. Yeah, and it's a ground we don't play as well. Yeah, we could lose.
Yeah, but on the other hand, there's the sort of the other factor that St Kilda are a terrible football team.
Yeah, they did look really bad versus Brisbane.
Yeah, and they have been bad all year. As I pointed out 2 days ago, they've, you know, they sort of became a temporary gold sexy team in the AFL because they started 5-4-1. Built on wins against the Suns in Melbourne, the Bombers in Marvel Stadium, the Hawks at Marvel Stadium, and the Demons at the MCG. Okay. They're basically beating, bottom of the bottom 10 teams in the AFL. You know, they're all bad teams. And none of those wins are respectable. And on the flip side is they've been flogged by every half-decent team they've played.
Yeah. And our team does, you mentioned selection, our team does have some very nice names in the inclusions.
Yes, but I guess the part of the thing is the great unknown is why I would not bet on this game if I was contemplating it, is you don't know who's going to come in, and you don't know, do we get 2018 Kane Lambert? If we do, I think the Saints are done. But forget sort of semi-decent Kane Lambert, Trent Conchon, and Dave Asprey. Poof, they're in, and Shane Edwards, I think they're done.
I really like that. Look, the way the team name often doesn't mean anything, but I like that Sydney Stack is named in the starting 18, even with a host of inclusions. And I did note with Jaden Short back in the team that Shane Edwards is named in a forward pocket.
Yes, very good point. That's a back to the past, and perhaps a change I wanted to do. It is the really interesting thing to me is that is why Short has been rushed back in, you know, named in the halfback flank, as you pointed out, not named on the extended bench. And if that is the plan, Short in, and like you can only think they've only rushed that so much because they want they're just desperate to bring Cheddar forward again. They think we've lacked creative grunt, and you could easily make a case that we need him in the midfield.
And I also think that the nature of an elbow injury, look, if it's feeling good, you know, presumably he's been running for quite a while. Like the risk of re-injury seems relatively low since it was such a freak incident. So yeah, if he is training well, then yeah, hopefully he plays.
Yeah, it's a touch thing though. You know, you would normally standard old school practice was you would give him a run in the twos just to get the feel of the ball again, but. You know, we're keen to play him, and fantastic. I really like watching. I'm very much. I know some Richmond supporters worry about his defensive efforts, but I'm very much. I'm in the Jaden Short camp.
Yep. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So, if it was up to you, who would you pick in the? Who would you drop, and by extension, who would you keep?
It's genuinely difficult. Looking at, I think Chol and Menadue probably in trouble. I'd love to find a spot for Bolton, but does that almost mean, you know, you probably can't have both of Bolton and Naish.
Yeah, I think Naish is gone. You know, it's two games, nice run. I don't think we picked him. I think we picked him because he was our. He demanded it by his form, but I think structurally, I don't think it makes sense. I think it's going to be a bench of Hawley, Graham, Bolton, Baker. It's going to be pretty short, but I think you can get away with that against the Saints.
Well, and when you're choosing between, you know, Butler and Baker, yeah, not easy. It's good. It's nice to have these sort of difficult decisions again.
It's not easy, but I think it's pretty clear which one you choose.
That was all I had on the Suns. Before we go, I actually wanted to mention how much I enjoyed Caroline Wilson last week had an anecdote about Marlon Pickett, who apparently is being put through a sort of mini pre-season, complete with him losing his lunch Sydney Stack style. At the end of drills, but apparently he and Dusty have really bonded to the extent that whereas, you know, normally in team meetings, Dusty likes having a spare seat on either side of him, that now Marlon Pickett goes and sit next to him. I thought that was really cute.
That is interesting, isn't it? Isn't he living with Dusty?
He was. I think his family's come over, so. He and his quite large family have obviously found somewhere else to live than what I presume is a bit of a bachelor pad.
Yeah, I don't think they do, but it would be nice if the AFL increased their relocation allowance for people with families.
He's such an interesting story, I think.
Definitely almost... not your typical 18-year-old draftee.
No. It's a bit of a flashback having you know, 27-year-old from interstate, but
it is very old school, isn't it? So, you know, back to the days where you'd sort of get some random state league legend, and you'd recruit them halfway through the year. Actually, it's before my time, but it always seems so romantic that someone would come over that you never heard of and be really good.
Well, yeah, like Michael Mitchell, when he came over, he was great. I'd never heard of him before. But now, that was a long time ago.
Now, extraordinarily, Nick, despite not having a game to talk about, we managed to spread this out to 40 minutes of podcasting.
Yeah. I really hope we win this week.
Oh, it's a huge game. It is a really big game.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
Just a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Something fantastic, and we just got to keep riding the wave.
Martin, three votes.